Well, I was meditating this last week on a verse. The Holy Spirit just directed me to a verse, and it just kind of went off in me, and I felt like it was the direction that God wanted me to go for this message. And so, you know, I did a lot of study around it and everything, but he directed me to this little story that I want to read first to just bless you and cap off of it as we teach. But it's called Do Others See Jesus in You? And it's about a man named Bill. Just listen. Bill was a drunk converted in a Skid Row mission. Before his conversion, he had gained a reputation as a derelict and a wino for whom there was no hope. But when he gave his life to Christ, everything changed. He became the most caring person at the mission. He spent his days there doing whatever needed to be done. There was never anything he was asked to do that he considered beneath him. Whether it was cleaning up vomit left by some sick alcoholic or scrubbing toilets used by men who had left them filthy, Bill did it all with a heart of gratitude. He could be counted on to feed any man who wandered in off the streets, undress him and tuck him into bed when he was too out of it to take care of himself. One evening after the mission director delivered his evangelistic message to the usual crowd of solemn men with drooped heads, one of them came down to the altar and kneeled to pray, crying out for God to help him change. The repentant drunk kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Bill! Make me like Bill! Make me like Bill!" The director of the mission leaned over and said, "Wouldn't it be better if you prayed, 'Make me like Jesus?'" After thinking about it for a few seconds, the man looked up and asked, "Is he like Bill?" Live so that others will see Jesus in you. Isn't that good? And I really wanted to start out with that, because the fact of the matter is people in your life, many people in your life, your relatives, friends, people, coworkers, people, neighbors that you associate with, if they are not going to the Word of God, you literally are the only Jesus that they're seeing. And you are actually the introduction to Jesus as to whether they're going to want to know him. And the sad part is that many Christians have done a lot to discourage people from wanting to get to know Jesus because of perhaps their lack of love or their lack of caring or their lack of example. And so what God wants us to become is he wants us to be, as Paul said, those living epistles known and read to all men, that people can see Jesus in us and actually want to get to know him because of the love and the difference they see in our character and in the light that we shine. Would you agree? And so the verse that really got me going in this direction is found in Philippians 1, 4 through 6. And I believe it should be on the overhead for you. And in the New King James, it goes like this. This is Paul writing to Philemon, however you want to say his name, Philemon. "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." He's saying here that the sharing of your faith will become effective by acknowledging, by you being able to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Not all the shortcomings, not all the things that you're not all the unlovely behavior that's still hanging on, but by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, your sharing Jesus with other people will actually become more effective. Now, who wants to be an effective witness for Jesus? I mean, if I'm going to live for him, if I'm going to talk to people about Jesus, if I'm going to, you know, allow the fruit of the Spirit to develop in my life, I want there to be effective seed sown in the hearts of those I'm ministering to. I want it to bear fruit. Would you agree? So in other words, when you share what you believe with others, it will have effect. It will bear fruit if you're someone that knows what God has done in your life. If you're acutely aware of what he's done in your life, and that you are, as I said, that living epistle known and read of all men. Whether you realize it or not, someone said recently that was ministering to the staff here, that even if you're an introverted person, even if you're kind of shy and you're one that kind of hangs back, within your lifetime, you will affect over 10,000 people. Now, you extroverts, who knows what it is? But each one of us in our lifetime, we directly or indirectly affect over 10,000 people. Do the math. My gosh, they would be standing in line like pastors believe in for to get in this church if we were just being effective witnesses. I want to be effective. I want to be like Bill. How many want to be like Bill? I want people to say, I want the Jesus that she has. You know, years ago when I was first starting to walk with the Lord and, you know, I was in the secular world and working and I'd come to know the Lord and my life was just so dramatically changing. I realized that if you're going to work next to the same people every day at work, you can't go in every day and say, well, have you received Jesus yet? Did you catch on? You know, you can't be witnessing quite that directly. But what I did was I made it a point that I wasn't going to tell them I was a Christian until they asked. And so what I would do is I was determined to be on time, to work late if it was needed, to make my supervisors look good, to do everything with excellence, to be gracious, to, you know, if I had two Twinkies, share one, you know. But I mean, to do all I could to show the love of Jesus and to be the salt of the earth, make them thirsty, so that eventually they would say, wow, there just seems to be something so different about your life. And then it was open door. And I found if they ask you, it's a whole lot easier. And I had seen Christians that were very vocal, but didn't have the character and the fruit in their lives that actually brought reproach upon the church. And I thought, you know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to speak too loud or too much until I'm convinced there's something they've seen in my life already. So I think that's a good way to be. But God wants our witness and our light and our influence to be effective. And a big key is in learning who we are in Christ. And it says in Philemon, hope I'm pronouncing it for you theological, am I saying that right? You theological majors. Philemon. Are you Greek? No. Almost. Philemon. We'll say Philemon. Okay, sorry. Anyway, is that when we need to acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. Let me list some good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. Well, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. These are the things that you are in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation in him. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Isn't that good? You are the very righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has made you righteous. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No matter what you feel like, you look in the mirror and you point to yourself and you say, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can do this, whatever is facing you. According to Psalm 139:14, it says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not old. You're not ugly. You're not fat. You're not skinny. You're not whatever the devil's telling you. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that good? Deuteronomy 28:13 says that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Maybe you've always felt like you were the last one picked on the softball team. That you were always the straggler. You were always in the purple group when the blue group was the best group. You know, and that you were always behind and underneath. But he says you are the head. You are the leader. And you're not lagging behind. You're above and not beneath. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When he was locked up in the Holy of Holies, and only one person could go in once a year in his presence, and only when he cleansed himself, the high priest, enough to where he wouldn't fall dead in the presence of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. He resides in you. You're walking wall to wall God when you walk around. And according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ. So many times, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm so confused. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to acknowledge the good thing that's in me, in you. You say that I have the mind of Christ in this situation. I believe that I have the mind of Christ. When something just, you know, springs up that you weren't planning, and saying, oh, gosh, I just don't know how to deal with this. Say, Father, I thank you. I believe I have the mind of Christ. You're acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. According to Galatians 5:22, you have the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life. Patience, kindness, goodness. Meditate on those things and say, Father, this is what's in me. I'm going to acknowledge what's in me in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In the Amplified, it says, who literally infuses inner strength into you. And he does it by his Spirit and by his word. When I was, I stepped out of ministry and taught third grade for 2 years, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, in the natural. Sometimes spiritually, I have some challenges in this realm, but it was the hardest thing in the natural I'd ever done. I wore out this verse. I almost wore out this verse. Saying every day, Father, I can do all things, all things, all things through Christ who strengthened me, and he gave me strength, and it was a good experience. According to 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These are all verses that we discuss around here a lot because one of the goals and the desires that we have in this Bible study is to raise up an army of women that are strong, that know who they are in Christ, that acknowledge who they are in Christ every day, and not what the devil's telling them, not what mom might have said, not what this teacher said, or your husband, or whoever, your ex, but what God says about you, rising up strong in him and in the power of his might. According to Proverbs 31:20 in the Amplified, realizing that you are a virtuous woman, like Pastor Deborah says, not that you're trying to become the virtuous woman, but that character is in you, in the new birth, that you are a virtuous woman. And according to Proverbs 31:20, that you reach out with filled hands to the needy. Filled hands. You believe for filled hands. You might feel like you don't have a dime, but you say, Father, I'm going to acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. Today, I reach out with filled hands to the needy. And when you go through your day expecting that you're going to have an abundant supply to meet every need that should come your way, you'll have a different mindset. It's not who's going to meet my need today, God. I'm so insecure. Who's going to help me? But it's God. I'm going to reach out today with filled hands. If someone needs time, I'm going to give time. If someone needs love, I'm going to give love. I've found in this day and age, people need a smile almost more than anything. If you walk in the grocery store and you just smile at people instead of acting like, you know, I don't want to give eye contact because I'm in a hurry. They just respond. They just look at you like, almost like, what's wrong with her? She's smiling. But that's acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. So how do we get these things working in our life? How do we begin to see ourselves as Christ sees us and to get into a routine, so to speak, of relating more to who we are in Christ than what we see facing us in the mirror, or what negativity might be coming at us through teenage kids or husbands or whoever may be bringing it? Well, number one, we need to meditate on the word day and night. And you know, I know I've got, it seems like I've got one string and I just pluck it. But I'll tell you, there isn't a shortcut around this, ladies. There is not a shortcut. I would love to tell you there's just an instant way to just, you know, go up to the Bible and just, you know, let it zap into you. And you just sort of get it by osmosis, you know, put it under your pillow and just sleep on it at night and just kind of you absorb it. But it really doesn't happen that way. And I want to speak to some of you. I'm just going to get over here on my little soapbox and meddle just a little bit. And if I offend you, just ask. You have to forgive me if you're going to be forgiven. That's how that works. But I want to speak to you, some of you ladies that have been around this Bible study and around this church for a while. I just want to meddle a little bit. That God is trying to just push you out of the nursery. And you have got to decide. It's a decision on your part. It's a little mental adjustment on the inside that you need to make. That I'm not the one touching the hem of the garment, but by your grace, God, I'm going to become the one to wear the garment. And I'll tell you, it's a mind shift. I've mentioned it before. I've shared aspects of my testimony. So insecure, so depressed, so just everybody's follower. Not an ounce of leadership in me. Not saying that I'm the greatest leader now, but God's grace is on me. But I remember the day and time, the moment when the Holy Spirit just did a shift in my thinking. That he wanted me to actually be someone that prayed for other people. Woo, what a mindset. And it's a mental adjustment that you've got to make that God, here I am. Send me. Use me. And not that it's a sin to ever ask for anything. I'm not going there. I'm not saying that. You know this church, my gosh. We're so gracious and so merciful upon anyone at any point in your walk. But you know who I'm talking to. You've been around a while. And if that's you, say God, just inside. You don't have to even tell anybody. But God, I step up to the plate. Forgive me. And it comes, I'll tell you, it will come by you making this personal to you. You don't just get it from other people. God uses ones like me and different ones to stir you up, to motivate you, to get you into the Word. But then you've got to sit down with your own lap full. And you've got to begin to get these words. You know, I gave you lots of verses there. I gave you enough verses there to just turn you into super Christian woman, you know. But that you sit down and you think, read those verses. Not just, you know, the notes that you make, but you open your Bible and you look at it and you meditate on it and you think on it. And you say, Father, I want this to become a part of me. I want to be this. I want to be strong in you and in the power of your might. I want to have your word working in my life. And you meditate on the verse, you think on it, you give your mind to it, and you begin to say it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I've found nothing gets the Word of God in my heart like hearing it out of my own mouth. And Joshua 1:8 gives us a real key to success. And if I'm too basic for some of you today, I apologize. But I need to hear this, so I'm just preaching to me today. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, not even your heart. Listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Not a 5-minute little devo when you're on the toilet. Come on. I know all the stuff you got piled around your toilet. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. God, just prosper me. You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. God was telling Joshua this. He was about to take over from Moses. What an act to follow. And God says, you'll make your way prosperous. Joshua, you'll have good success if you meditate in my word day and night. And I think there's only about 5 books written at that time. But we have got to decide that I'm going to be successful in life according to what God says is successful, not according to Wall Street. But I'm going to do it God's way, and I'm going to give myself to meditating in the Word of God and get it in my mouth. Begin to say what God says about me. Amen? Amen. And I'll tell you, that is the cure for depression. If you're struggling with depression today, I know that devil. I fought that devil for years until the Holy Spirit did an amazing work in my life. And I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. But I'm touched with the feelings of infirmities when I meet with women that are battling with depression. But I'll tell you, your feelings are an outcome of your thought life. So if you are feeling depressed, unless there's just something totally medical going on, but if you're feeling depressed, it's because you've got negative thinking going on. So you change the way you think according to the Word of God, and then the feelings are positive and they're wonderful. It's not everything that you can't do. It's what you can do in Christ that's going to make the difference. Amen? Amen. And then, you know, and there's ways to do that. How do you meditate on the Word day and night? That's actually one of the little discussion questions that you're going to have, and you can look at that around your table. So there's all kinds of creative ways. But, you know, I'm a busy woman. I've spent a lot of plates. I'm like a lot of you. And so I have the New Testament on CD. When Nancy Alcorn was here and they sold the New Testament, I'd worn out another set. So I just take out those CDs, and that's the favorite thing I do. I put in my car. I love teaching tapes. But I'll tell you, listening to the spoken Word of God, nothing feeds me like that. And I'll put that in the Word of God and put that in the CD player and let it get down in my heart. Because I'll tell you, one of the greatest functions that the Holy Spirit will have in your life, according to John 14:26, is that He'll bring the Word of God to your remembrance. But it's got to be in there for Him to bring it to your remembrance. That's the key. So you've got to put it in there. And just listening to the Word of God like that on the way in to work and stuff. A lot of times later in the day, just the Word that I need, the Holy Spirit will bring it to my remembrance. And it'll be right there. So many times when you're striving to overcome sin, you know, girlfriend will call you. And you'll be on the phone. And you're just about to have somebody for lunch. You and girlfriend, you know. Because, you know, you're trying to... You know, you're trying to connect stronger, and, you know, if we can talk about her, then, you know, we have a stronger alliance here. Uh-oh, none of you, I'm sure. But anyway, girlfriend will call, and you're maybe ready to go there, but up comes the Word of God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but such is good to the use of edifying. And just right there, you're like, well, you know, God's not finished with her yet. Or, you know, I'm just not going to go there. You know, and the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit recalls it to your remembrance, it stops the flesh. Because in God's Word, according to Hebrews 4:12, it says that it's active, it's operative, it's energizing. There is literally the power released from the Word of God. There's enough power released from it for you to live it. Isn't that good? But we've got to get it in us. There's got to be a diligent effort there. I tell people it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with great ability. We have an awesomely great and capable God. And so, but it does take some diligence. It will take some homework. It will take you getting up, yeah, getting your butt out of bed a little bit early. Those of you, I've said for years, I'm not a morning person. God said, you better become a morning person because you got to beat the devil. So it takes you getting your little body, your little bums, as Pastor Deborah calls them, out of bed and opening the Word of God and saying, Jesus, speak to me. We love a word from God. You got a lap full. God, feed me, speak to me, show me what your word says. And then when he leads you and directs you to the Word of God that is the answer to the question on your heart or the answer that you need or the area that you're striving to get strong in, then you think on it and you think on it and you speak it. And according to Joshua 1:8, you observe to do it. In other words, there's been times that I've blown it. Has anybody here ever blown it? Never mind, you don't have to raise your hand. The rest of you are liars, as Pastor Chris says. No, no, but there's been times that I've blown it big time. And what I like to do so that I'll not blow it quite as bad the next time is I like to get into the Word of God right after that when I'm letting the Holy Spirit heal my wounds. After I've repented, you know, to people, I almost wore out my repenter. But anyway, You get into the Word of God and you let the Holy Spirit do instant replay. And you let Him show you while it's fresh how you should have handled that situation. And the Word of God comes off these pages, comes into your situation, and you kind of rehearse it as you're meditating in the Word, so that when you're in that situation again, and sometimes God will allow that to happen so you can't overcome, you'll handle it right and not wrong. And you'll do it right, and there'll be a good outcome. But you take the Word of God and you observe to do it in your time of meditation. Isn't that good? So number two, you have to believe that what God says is true about you. You've got to decide to believe what God says. You know, just like you can't speak two languages at the same time, you can't think one language and speak another, you can't study this word and try to get it in your heart and say something else about you. It just does not work. So when you're in the Word of God and you're thinking on it and you're looking at it, then begin to say out of your mouth, even if your feelings are totally the opposite, you don't say, oh, I just feel so discouraged. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could encourage myself in the Lord. You encourage me, Father. You pick me up. You heal my heart. You strengthen me. I'm not going to be down for 3 days over this. You know, the devil likes to just take you out for a while because you made a mistake. Get over it. Let him dust you off. Get up and move on so that you can be an effective witness. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. God's word is true. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So if you're thinking negative about yourself, you are siding in with the devil and you are in opposition to the word of God. That's not what God thinks about you. That's not what God's saying to you. So you are listening to the devil. Don't sit down and have lunch with the devil. Don't take tea parties with the devil. Say, God, I'm going to believe what you say about me. Father, I'm going to choose to believe and acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. Number three, say what God says about you. Say what God says about you. You know, I love it. In 2 Corinthians 7:2, I don't know if we got it on the overhead. 2 Corinthians 7:2. I didn't write it down here. Paul said, you know, he was writing to the Corinthian church and he said, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. This is Paul. That when he was the man Saul, he persecuted the church. He was personally responsible for the stoning of Stephen. They laid his coats at Saul's feet before he came to the Lord. But he says, I've wronged no man. How can he say that? Is he lying here? No, see, that old man, Saul, was dead. And this was the man, Paul, writing as a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away, all things become new. I have wronged no man. And we have to be of that same character. We have to be of that same stature. That we say, old things are passed away. I'm not what anybody else ever said about me, but I am who you say I am, Jesus. And you move forward. Amen? Are you getting something today? So say what God says about you. Let God be true and every man a liar. And then number four, just like Bill, love others as you love yourself. Matthew 22:39 says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is a big key in relationships and in growing in relationships and overcoming. We want to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. But we want to judge and criticize everybody else that God isn't having his perfect work in their lives too. And that's wrong. And we need to do better with that, ladies. You know, if somebody is unlovely or doing something wrong in their lives at that point in time, is God finished with them? Is that the end of the road for them? Many times, someone will bring somebody's name up and will have a critical or a negative remark about them based on something that happened in their life months and months ago. Do we want people to give us a level playing field? Do we want people to give us a hope and a future and an expectation for change. We have to give others the privilege and the right to change. And if we're going to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus and believe what God says about us and not what we might think about ourselves or any negative thing attitude that we've had toward ourselves in the past, we've got to do that for others. And like I said, you know, the phone call with girlfriend. If somebody says something unlovely about someone else, I got that from a friend of mine. She always says, well, I guess God's not done with her yet, is he? We need to adopt that as our language. Well, I guess God's not done with her, is he? I guess she'll be down the road a little further in a few weeks. Give her time. The word's getting in her. She's growing. She's changing. God's doing an amazing work in her life. And if we will begin to acknowledge that in others, we're loving others as we love ourselves, and we want others to have that same grace toward us. Amen? And just like Bill, in every drunk that he ministered to, he saw himself, and he saw how his life had changed by the love of Christ, and he wanted to be that. And then number 5, others will see Christ in you, just like Bill, and want the Christ that you know. Others will see Christ in you as you acknowledge, the Bible says, as you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus, and you begin to reflect that you know who you are in Christ, not in a prideful way, not that I'm better than anybody else, but that he's having his perfect work in my life and in my heart, then you become that living epistle known and read to all persons. You shine brightly. And when others get to know you and you have that same attitude toward them, that the word's going to get in you, you're going to grow. You're going to be amazing. It's going to be just awesome what God's going to do in your life, that you're going to see that your witness will become effective. And that's what we want. So Philippians 1:4-6 says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So how are we going to be more effective in our witness? We're going to meditate in the word day and night. Number 2, we're going to believe what God says is true. Number 3, we're going to say what God says about us. Number 4, we're going to love others as we love ourselves and have that same grace toward them. And number 5, we're going to believe that others will see Christ in us and want the Christ that we know. Did you get something today? Praise God. Praise God. But we've got to do this. You know, we've got to do this, ladies. We've got to make a diligent effort and determine in our hearts that we're going to do whatever it takes to grow to the next level and to become someone that God can use to lead others to the Lord. You know, I have it in my other Bible. I don't have it in this Bible, but I showed you before in the back of my Bible. I've got a picture of my whole family. My whole family. We had a big picture taken when my mom turned 80. And I lay hands on that every day. Before me every day, I want to keep the relatives that are not born again yet. You know, I can't save the whole world, but I want at least to see every family member there. I want to see every nephew. I want to see every niece. I want to see the great nephews, the great nieces now. I don't like what the world's trying to do to them. And so I want my witness to be effective. And I believe it's going to be as I acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.